This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Mike, how did you feel like Dylan looked today on the mound, three innings?
Dylan looked really good. I was really pleased. You know, some different environment here. Ball got up in the air a little bit. Life on his fastball. Slider good. Threw inside, which I thought was great. Opens up all his pitches and threw a couple really good changeups. I was really pleased.
Nagy, first pitch of the game, home run. I mean, he continues to do some pretty good things, huh?
Yeah, no, it was a nice swing by Nagy, and he got a chance to go out there and play shortstop, made a few plays, so it was a good swing.
How important is shortstop for him as far as making this team?
It's important. You know, if you're going to be a utility guy, being able to play shortstop is part of that. Had Wadey out there. He's done a nice job. Clearly, Eggie getting a chance today. So, you know, anybody that can go out there and grab shortstop as an infield utility guy, it's going to be important.
With him and Iglesias and several other utility infield pieces, how do you guys at this point really like your depth?
I know a lot. I mean, you know, you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned the names. I mean, we got Wadey. We got, you know, Rosie in the mix. You got Iglesias. You got McCoy, played last year into the season for us. You got multiple guys. So, you know, competition's good. Depth's good.
Was Manny's jersey on the second bus today?
I can't speak to that.
There it is.
why would his jersey be on the second bus? I didn't get that.
Oh, Manny started the game with like number 91 or something.
Oh, he didn't have his
They didn't have his jersey, and so they don't know where it was. But then he ended up emerging from the dugout after a while.
He emerged with 13.
But he had like some random spring training number.
You know what's going to be funny is some card company is going to take a photo of that and put it on a baseball card somewhere and make it like, you know, one of those rare cards.
Yes.
Manny Machado wearing number. You know, and as a matter of fact, on that note, and then I wanted to address something that Mike Schultz said there because it cracked me up. On that note, Tony Gwynn Sr., right? The great Tony Gwynn Sr.
I've heard of him.
Yes, you have. He wore what number, Scrape? Any guesses?
He wore what?
What number?
Oh,
you don't know what number Tony Gwynn wore?
19, of
yes,
course.
Yes, thank you.
Of course.
All right. Have you ever seen his rookie baseball card? 1983 Topps. Tony Gwynn rookie card. I have one right in front of me, and I also own one.
I think I have because this is sent around a lot, but let me see.
Oh, do you want to see what it looks like?
Yeah.
There he is. Can you see it?
Yes, I've seen that card.
The reason I'm bringing up, he's wearing number 53.
That is great.
I don't know where they got that photo from, but he was wearing
spring
number
training.
53 somehow. And that's the picture of Tony Gwynn Sr. in his very first baseball card.
That was trivia.
So, yeah, that is a little trivia. So Manny wearing 91 today. Here's the funny thing in that interview. And by the way, thanks for the special appearance by Sam Levitt in that interview packet.
Of course.
Sam's always right there with the hard-hitting questions.
And he's always running around.
Sam's
the guy
so
runs
funny.
More than any person I've ever met.
Carrying his equipment.
Yeah.
Jostling it up and down. He's got a tripod over one arm. He's got a bag of stuff over here. He's got a microphone around his neck. His credentials flying in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sammy's got it going on.
He's sweating. His jacket is like half off.
And the other part of it, there's always like 20 fans sitting down by the field that are yelling his name.
Yeah. As he's,
Sammy! Sammy! Hi, Sammy! Over here! Sammy! Sam!
He's like,
hi, Sam!
And he's like, no! I got to get to the loft!
I got to get there! No, but somebody else asked, Mike Schilt there, how important is it for Eggie to play a little shortstop?
I didn't think this was a bad question.
You didn't?
Nope.
And Mike Schilt goes, it was important.
Yeah. I mean,
that is what you get when you're interviewing our guy, Mike Schilt. You ask him a question like that, he's going to give you an answer like that.
I didn't think it was a terrible question because Eggie's been playing everywhere but shortstop this spring training. So I didn't think it was a bad question.
I didn't say it was a bad question.
I know you didn't.
What I'm saying is the answer is funny to me.
Okay. That's, because he needs to play.
That's
shortstop.
Mike Schilt. No, that's Mike Schilt. How important was it? It was important.
Okay, I'm missing the point here, but now I get it.
Do
now
you get
I
the
get
point
it.
Now?
Yes, now I get it.
All right.
It is funny, because Mike Schilt does
Mike,
do that.
Is the sky blue? Yes, it's blue. I mean, that's kind of what you're going to get from Schilt.
And he kind of has like a little smile on his face, too.
Because he knows that, you know, he's not going to give you any information.
Yes, correct.
This
Sorry,
is
I
why
didn't get
when,
that for a second.
All right, you didn't get it. When we go to spring training in 2 weeks,
yeah,
you and me and Tony will be down there.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see if we can get a, you know, in person with Mike Schilt.
I think that's
on
the table.
I want him to meet us. I want him to know that we're not just a voice, you know, coming out of the woodwork.
Chris has been saying this for weeks now. Chris,
what did I ask him last year that was kind of off the beaten path? Oh, God, it was bad. But he hung with it.
He did.
He gave me a hard time.
Do
you remember
gosh.
What it was?
It was something about roster decisions. I know that
I think I said you're not going to tell us what your roster is going to look like for the postseason.
Yeah,
he goes, of course I'm not, or something like that.
I did ask him a question one time that Tony and I talked about, and then as I was asking the question, I'm like, I know what this answer is going to be. I can't abort at this point.
No. And if you ask a question to Mike Schilt that you know the answer to, that is the answer you're going to get.
Yes.
He's very rarely going to give you something you didn't expect, and he's very rarely going to expand wildly on some topic.
Agree.
Which is his right, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is his right.
Better than saying the word battle in like 400 times a press conference.
Mike Schilt is my guy. Don't you take umbrage with
it. Do you remember those days, Chris? The battling comments?
I don't.
Jace Tingler.
Oh, Jace Tingler was a battler? I don't
know. No, he was like, oh, my guy's battled tonight.
I put the Jace Tingler world behind me. As should you.
Yes.
You know what? Speaking of putting things behind them, the Padres would probably like to put the spring training behind them. They're now 3-10 after an 8-2 loss to the Rangers today. Eggie did homer on the very first pitch of the game. Eggie's also hitting .192. I got to tell you, that's probably not going to be enough to wrestle away the left field job.
Not at all.
Jackson Merrill also homered today. He's hitting .375. Two more hits for the Pods today. Oscar Gonzalez, who's at .346. And Tirso Ornelas, who's at .409. Those are the four hits on the day. On the other side, Marcus Semien homered off Dylan Cease, despite Mike Schilt's enthusiastic
response
about Dylan Cease's effort.
I was surprised by that, but it's just a homer in spring training.
Yeah, right. It's not
right. That's what you tell me, right?
I am telling you that, and I'm also going to tell you that, you know, Mike Schilt is not looking for that kind of result. It doesn't matter to him. He wants to honestly know what kind of stuff, and he seemed to think that Cease had good stuff today. All right, Padre. By the way, a game will be on our air tomorrow again at 12:00. Do you know who they play tomorrow, Scrab? I mean, I like to, you know, give
Do
people
you
that.
Know?
Of course I don't. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. I actually, because they don't mean anything, they're playing the Milwaukee
Brewers.
Looks
like the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brew Crew tomorrow.
Away. They're on the road this time.
All right. We'll have the game for you prior to our show tomorrow afternoon. A couple of baseball notes. Yankee fans, I got bad news for you, and I'm pleased to be delivering it. I don't like the Yankees. Right, Scrape? I mean, who likes the Yankees?
Not many.
There's one thing I like about the Yankees.
That guy who's in the great uncle from Sports Corps yesterday, he loves the Yankees.
Oh, the guy who got buried with a Red Sox hat even though he loves the Yankees?
Yep.
No, there's one thing I like about the Yankees, and one thing only. Aaron Boone. That's I like.
I love Aaron Boone, too.
Yankees pitcher Luis Gil, last year's Rookie of the Year, will be sidelined for at least 3 months. That's bad news. Lat strain. 3 months he's out. Giancarlo Stanton still hurting, but according to general manager Brian Cashman, he'll only have surgery on his balky elbows.
Elbows?
I guess they both hurt.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what's he doing? Why? How are both elbows hurting?
He's not even...
Honestly, unless you're a pitcher, and Giancarlo Stanton is hardly a pitcher, have you ever heard of an elbow injury? Anywhere other than with a pitcher?
Yeah, bone spurs, things like that.
Well, who gets them? Who gets an elbow injury? Quarterback? No NBA player that I know of has an elbow issue.
I broke my elbow in high school.
All right. Stanton has both elbows. So he's...
he has both. I'm glad that he has both elbows.
Yes. But they're both hurt. Also, DJ LeMahieu has a grade 1 or maybe a grade 2 left calf strain.
Oh, my goodness.
He'll be sidelined several weeks.
I cannot do these calf strains. I know that they probably do hurt.
Yeah,
but...
no, I know what you mean. I know, because if I didn't come to work every time I had a calf strain, I'd just stay home. I have a calf strain every day.
Oh, Katie has a great one for the elbow.
What she got?
Tennis elbow. Happens to everyone.
Oh, there we go. All right, tennis is fair. But Giancarlo Stanton is not a tennis player. He's a DH. I don't know why both his elbows hurt.
Can you imagine him coming up to plate with like some elbow braces on?
I mean, how's he hurting his elbows? I don't get it.
He's a massive human being.
All right.
And he swings a bat very fast.
One last thing on baseball. We told you earlier in the week that Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you. Manny Machado also had an elbow injury last year.
He did?
Yes.
How did he do it?
That was the whole thing.
That was
when
the whole thing?
Surgery. He had stuff going on in his elbow.
All right.
Thank you for
I chose to
me,
forget that.
Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Bad Bunny and Fernando Tatis are, you know, together. You heard about this earlier in the week where Fernando hired Bad Bunny's firm to represent him, making deals off the field, basically.
Yeah, brand deals.
Bad Bunny and their firm had been suspended from Major League Baseball for violations. Apparently, Bad Bunny and the Baseball Players Association have now agreed to dismiss their lawsuit over discipline.
Oh.
So it sounds like maybe Bad Bunny is back within good graces of baseball. And Tatis and Bad Bunny are going to see what they can come up with.
I mean, those two, that's a good pairing because I feel like Tatis is perfect for the Bad Bunny brand and vice versa.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I trust a guy named Bad Bunny with my contract. I mean, his contract's already taken care of, too. So it's not like Bad Bunny or anybody's going to have to negotiate for him because it's already
done. There's a female rapper whose name is Bad something. What's her name? Help me out. Bad Baby. Do you know her?
No.
B-H-A-D. B-H-A-B-I-E. Bad Baby. I'm not exactly sure why you want to call yourself bad, but I guess in this world, at this day and age, that's good.
Yeah, I want to be Bad Scraby. That'd be fun.
All right. Crisello, Bad
Scraby. Instead of Matt Scraby, Bad Scraby.
All right. We can do that for 45 minutes. Traffic is next.
Whoa.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hi, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ella, Tony Gwynn Jr., he's in Florida. We miss him. He's with his daughters down there getting ready for a little soccer action. So Scraby and I are carrying you through here in the next couple of days. Scraby will have the Scraby Chronicles coming up after this show, after he kicks me out of here at 6 o'clock. Also coming up in this segment, don't go too far. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Saturday night's Aztecs basketball game against Nevada at Viejas Arena. Do not call now.
Thank you.
Because there is nothing to call for now.
Thank you.
I repeat, do not call now. Otherwise, face the wrath of Scraby.
He hates much earlier.
You're so bad. But when people call and they're not supposed to, Scraby, you know, it's all over.
Well, I mean, I
no, it's okay.
It's an efficient process. When people call in to make an answer, I go, 97.3, do you know the answer? And they go, what was the question? I'm making fun of people.
I know, so if somebody's out there who's actually ever done that before, they now will hate you and never listen to the show again.
It's
way to alienate people.
It's more for entertainment purposes.
Way to alienate people.
My impressions are because I love you.
Yeah. Then you must love me because I've heard your impression of me before.
I always do a Chris Ello. Hey, everybody, it's Chris Ello over here.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I want to get into for a second. And we don't talk, you know, we don't lead the league in hockey talk.
Walk.
But last night, Washington Capitals forward Alex Ovechkin scored his 885th goal. And that helped the Capitals beat the Rangers. Ovechkin, 885. Wow. He is now 9 behind Wayne Gretzky. 10 more. And Ovechkin is going to pass Gretzky as the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. And I don't want him to do it. And I don't think I'm alone, but I also know that I'm powerless to stop it from happening, right? I mean, Ovechkin's going to do it. He's probably going to do it this year. They've still got 20 games left. He's having an incredible year for a guy of his age. Ovechkin has scored 32 goals this year in 46 games. He's almost getting a goal every game. And that's quite impressive considering he's 39 years old.
That is right? Good enough for a hockey player.
Right, he's not the proverbial spring chicken.
No, not at all.
Ovechkin scored last year 31 total. So he's got 32. Here's the deal. Wayne Gretzky is God when it comes to hockey. There's nothing bigger, better, more dominant, the face of a sport forever and ever and ever than number 99 and Gretzky.
His
and everything that
is
stands
the great
for.
One.
Yes. Gretzky is unassailable as the greatest hockey player who ever lived. And I'm going back a ways, and you're going to get mad when I do it, but it was... I will. It was for different reasons, though. But in the mid-70s, early 70s, there were a lot of people who did not want to see Hank Aaron beat Babe Ruth. Now, that was probably more racially motivated than simply, you know, a love for Babe Ruth. But there were still some people who just loved Babe Ruth, thought Babe Ruth should always be the home run king.
No one actually knew about Babe Ruth back then.
In the 70s, Babe Ruth
was more of a king than anything.
He was just that waddler guy who went around the bases at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, no one knew that he was a drunk and all this other stuff.
But, I mean, it was similar to that, right? Babe Ruth was the king. He was baseball. He was the face of the sport. He was home runs, you thought of Babe Ruth. And so, you know, a lot of people didn't want Hank Aaron to have that record. But there's many more that was just racially motivated, which is a sad state of where things were back then. With Ovechkin, I don't see any of that. I don't think you can claim any of that. Yes, Ovechkin is Russian, but Gretzky's Canadian. So I'm not sticking up for any one country or the other here. That has not, that I'm not motivated by that. I'm just motivated by the fact that Gretzky is Gretzky. It seems like he should always be the goal-scoring record holder. Now, having said that, I want to congratulate Ovechkin because he has taken this chase of the record and done something with it very positive. And what he's doing is every time he scores a goal, last night was 885, he donates that much money to cancer research.
Wow.
And he's inviting everyone else to do the same.
So every time, so he basically pays 800 and
he paid 885 last night. He wants you to do the same. He wants me to do the same. He wants everybody. And then tomorrow or next time he scores, he wants 886 and so on. And
like
he wants all this money and it's, you know, directly to cancer research, the whole thing. I like this. So, you know, now I'm not rooting against him as much as I was before. But I just think it's kind of a weird thing about sports. Ovechkin is about to do something historic. We're all going to see it. ESPN's going to stop programming for it. But I don't really want him to do it. I can't imagine I'm the only one who thinks that way because Gretzky is so Gretzky. There's just such a thing about him.
I don't like it when people... I don't like it when athletes are held in such high regard, even when there's another athlete that is maybe better than them, a.k.a. LeBron and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I understand why you don't want to see it because you're a Gretzky fan, but I want to see history.
You want to see Ovechkin do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What did Tony say that one day? I want to see greatness.
I want to see greatness. Well, you're seeing greatness even if he doesn't break Gretzky's record. But it just seems like Gretzky ought to have the... every record in hockey, but he's not going to. He's not going to have the biggest one on the board within the next month or so is going to belong to Alexander the Great.
Dominic Ovechkin. On the chat who lives in Baltimore and still listens to us all the time.
Thank you, Dominic.
Yeah. He said they give you half off Papa John's pizza in Baltimore when he scores a goal.
They do, huh?
I'm into that. I mean, it sounds like he scores a goal all the time.
He did, well, 32 and 46 games, that's a lot of pizza. I think the cancer research is a little better, but okay.
Of course, yes. And he's actually donating, which I think is cool. And it's actually like a good amount of money.
Here's the other thing. Ovechkin is a likable guy, general.
He's really fun.
If anybody remembers the guy with the Stanley Cup, it was a nightly crazy thing that he was doing.
And he was like sleeping with
it. Sharing it with everyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a very likable guy here. So it's not that like a, you know, one of those guys, you know, who's like Dennis Rodman's going to hold the record. I mean, it's Ovechkin. Everybody likes this guy too, but Gretzky's Gretzky, but his record is going to fall. So it's 10 goals till 9 to tie, 10 for the record.
Do you think you're romanticizing hockey from back in the day?
Yeah, I'm romanticizing Gretzky. There's no question.
Okay.
Gretzky's great. It's just there's something amazing about Gretzky that should never be touched. But
when did he retire from the league, Gretzky?
Wayne.
Was he a late 90s guy?
I don't think he made it that long.
Because I didn't
know. You're
watch...
right. He did. He Gretzky in 1999.
Wow, okay.
Last year was with the Rangers. Scored only 9 goals that year. So
pretty good for what was he like? He was 38.
Yeah.
So they
both played 20 years. I mean, you know, look, the difference is Gretzky played 3-4 years in the WHA before he came to the NHL. He scored, Gretzky, 92 goals in that league. But those don't count toward his NHL total, nor should they. I think Ichiro his hits he got in the Japanese league, so he doesn't get those.
I have nothing against Wayne Gretzky. I just never really grew up with hockey.
Yeah.
So
you're into seeing this. It's going to happen. So there you have it. Gretzky will still hold every other record, but Ovechkin's going to have
this
one.
Can he still be called the great one?
He should still be called the great one, yes. He's that.
I'm pretty sure it's trademarked by him.
I don't know. Either by him or Pat Riley. Pat Riley, Mike, got in on that one as well.
Yes.
All right, call in right now, 833-288-0973. First person with the correct answer to this question will go see the Aztecs basketball Saturday night against Nevada. The question is, Ovechkin will be one, Gretzky's two. Who's the third highest scoring player in NHL history, goal scoring? Third
Happy
highest.
Happy Gilmore?
Oh, wait a minute. Fourth, okay, behind Happy Gilmore.
Thank you.
That and also stick around, biggest fan is soon as well on Gwen and Chris. All right, congratulations to Killian out there. Good hockey fan. He knew that the number three goal scorer of all time in the NHL is the great Gordie Howe. Very good, Killian. He'll go to the Aztec game on Saturday night against Nevada.
He was very excited, too.
Yes, he was. Very glad to see him win. I just want to say one thing about Gordie Howe. But before I do, I have to congratulate today's biggest fan.
Oh, good job. I almost forgot.
Our biggest fan is Isaac Flores. Isaac Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S. He resides there in National City. Isaac, give us a call back. You've got 10 minutes to ring up 833-288-0973. If you do it, Isaac, you'll be qualified for a grand prize. That's 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember, register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Isaac Flores.
I got to tell you, the
time starts now, Isaac. Go.
The listeners and fans on the YouTube chat, they're really bummed that we don't name them every single time.
Oh. Well,
the names are already pre-selected. Yeah, I just go into a document, I grab the name, I put it into the piece of paper. I want nothing to do with the selection.
We want you all to win out there, believe me, but we don't have that power yet. One thing about Gordie Howe. I think one of my favorite sports idioms, and I don't know if that's the right word, but one of my favorite sports things that you can do in any sport is get a Gordie Howe hat trick. And having something like this named for you, I think, makes you even more legendary than you already are. Do you know what a Gordie Howe hat trick is?
The only reason I know of Gordie Howe is because The Simpsons did an episode on him.
Really? So you don't know that Gordie Howe, prior to Gretzky...
I know he's great.
Yes, Gordie Howe, prior to Gretzky, was the face of hockey. He was the greatest player ever. Gretzky came along. But a Gordie Howe hat trick is classic. In the same game, you have to get a goal, an assist, and get in a fight. If you do all three, you get a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Was Gordie Howe playing in the days when they didn't even have helmets?
He was just a guy that would fight you. I mean, he was more of a scorer, though. Yeah, he wasn't known for his fighting per se.
That's great.
But he would definitely fight you if you, you know, took a run at him, he'd fight you. So that's a Gordie Howe hat trick. I think that would be something that every player in hockey would like to possess one day. A Gordie Howe hat trick.
That is pretty awesome. I did not know that.
Did not know? Okay. Well, now you're up to date on that. Let's check some traffic, and then I got one fun thing, because it's always fun to make fun of other people's mistakes. I'll tell you what I mean after traffic. All right, here we go. Our friend David Schoenfeld, and he's not our friend. We don't really...
I don't mind him, but you've turned him against us, Chris.
Probably he'll never come on the show again, but... Or at all.
He's been on the show before.
He has?
Yeah, I've texted like way back when.
No, but never again.
I texted him recently and I didn't get a response.
I always rip him. But I'm not ripping him today.
Wow.
I like what he did today. On ESPN Plus, I had to pay for the article.
Yes, you did.
But this is a good one by David Schoenfeld today. So I give him high marks for this one.
All right.
Actually, this article came out a couple of months ago. I just didn't see it a couple of months ago.
Okay.
All right. But I saw it today. And his article is every team in baseball's dumbest move this decade.
Oh.
Okay. So every team's dumbest move. Now, I want you Padre fans out there to start thinking.
I got one.
What you think would be the dumbest or most damaging move the Padres made so far this decade. And I'm going to tell you in advance, Eric Hosmer was signed in 2018, so that does not count.
Wait, I thought you said the last decade.
I'm sorry, this decade.
So the
2020s.
Oh, I was going to say James Shields then, but okay. Oh,
okay, no.
Can it be coaching or is it strictly roster decisions?
It's anything.
Huh.
Okay? It can be managing, coaching decisions, or it can be roster decisions or ownership, whatever it is.
All right.
He lists here the most damaging move for each team this decade, which means Hosmer doesn't count because he was 2018.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, right. Everybody jump right to that. But that's not it. Now, he also not only did that, but he ranked the damaging moves in order of how bad they were.
Jeez. Okay. This is an in-depth thing.
Yeah, Schoenfeld goes all in. For example, as far as Schoenfeld is concerned, the most damaging move that any team has done this decade is the Angels keeping Shohei Ohtani at the trade deadline in 2023. He thinks that was such a bad move that it has wrecked the franchise for, you know, for the near future, the, you know, who knows how long.
Remind me, were they in playoff contention
at
the time?
They were 6 games out. And then they kept Ohtani, and they immediately lost 7 in a row, and that was it.
I do remember that.
And they never got close, and then they lost Ohtani to free agency, and of course they got nothing in return, and of course the Angels are terrible. So that was his worst one. I don't know that that was the worst one, but that was his.
That doesn't sound like the worst one in baseball.
I think there's other ones on this list that could surpass that.
All right.
I don't mean to get personal here, because I know he's a friend of the show, but blame David Schoenfeld for this. Third worst move, Washington Nationals signing Strasburg. 7 years, 245. Obviously, that didn't work out. Schoenfeld says no injury mercy, or he doesn't put injury mercy in this article. So, you know, Strasburg's inability to pitch cost the Nats.
I mean, that hurt. That was not a very well thought out plan.
Right. Fourth, Boston Red Sox trading Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. That was in February.
He didn't want to play there anymore. There was no other choice for it. He was over it.
Yeah, but they only got Alex Verdugo in return and catcher Connor Wong, who is their regular catcher now, but is certainly not Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
I bet you can guess the Rockies, who are fifth. Dumbest move by the Rockies this decade.
Chris Bryant?
You talk about it all the time. Yeah, Chris Bryant. 7 years, $182 million.
Someone on the chat says, my husband says Padres trading to get Soto. That wouldn't be a bad move.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if that's the one. Because we haven't got to the Padres yet. The Rockies also had the Nolan Arenado trade in the running, which was incredibly stupid since they didn't get anybody and they paid most of his contract.
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, it seemed to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard
of. That was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally Rockies, but...
Yeah, it is Rockies.
Hey, we're going to give you a perennial all-star, but...
We'll pay his salary, and we don't really expect much in the way of players back.
Just give us your best single-A guy.
Best guy they've got is Austin Gomber. How's that working out for him? There's been some, you know, trades that, you know, you can never tell. Didn't work out. Texas Rangers went for somebody from Cleveland to help shore up, you know, a pennant drive. Traded Emmanuel Clase to Cleveland. Mm. That's worked out not well for the
Rangers.
Not
well, no.
Right? I mean,
they won the World Series, so I guess that...
The Rangers?
You said I guess that's okay.
Let's see. Yeah, true. But this trade happened before that.
Okay.
So this wasn't really a World Series thing.
All right.
Number nine, I like this. Biggest mistake White Sox have made this decade.
Tatis. Oh, that's not this decade.
Yeah, Tatis would have been it, but not this decade. Worst mistake the White Sox have made? Hiring Tony La Russa as manager.
Many people called that, too.
Yeah, just didn't work out. La Russa just hadn't. He hadn't managed in 9 years. La Russa.
I will always remember him shuffling to the plate when he was running to argue a call.
You don't remember him piling the food on in the at the Hall of Fame hotel?
Oh no, I definitely remember that. Chris and I were standing in this random room in Cooperstown, and Tony La Russa walks in. The food wasn't ready. He just pulled everything off and just put all the pasta on his plate,
heaping pounds of it.
And Chris and I are just staring at each other like, is this happening right now?
Tony La Russa was just pigging right out. And no one else was in the room.
No one else.
He was the only guy there, and there's a whole layout of food.
I've totally forgot about that.
I don't think it was open yet.
I'm telling you, they had plastic on the food.
He's pulling the plastic off and just...
And these people are... The workers are like, sir... Food's not ready yet.
He looked like one of those characters from not The Simpsons. What's the other one I like?
Family Guy?
Yeah, Family Guy. Just
That was funny.
Dodgers' worst move in this decade.
Oh gosh.
I like this one. You'll remember it. Trading for Lance Lynn and then putting him in the game with their season on the line 2 years ago. They were down 2-0 to the Diamondbacks in the playoff. They went with Lance Lynn in the third game. He gave up 4 home runs in 1 inning.
That is,
and that eliminated
I do remember
them.
That. And we made fun of Lance Lynn.
Yes, we did. And we made fun of the Dodgers.
Well, if that's their worst move, I mean.
Yeah, well, it's right. It's not that bad. All right, here's the Padres. Padres got the 11th worst move of the decade, according to David Schoenfeld. Right,
since 2020, huh?
Since 2020, worst move. I will tell you, I wouldn't have come up with this.
You wouldn't.
But I.
Do you think I would?
No, I don't think you would think of this, but I don't know that it's, you know, it isn't the worst move. It certainly blew up on them. Let's be honest. If you look at the final result of it, it blew up on them.
All right. I think I got it.
What do you got?
Trading Andrés Muñoz to the Mariners.
Nope. Not one of those. It's not a trade. It's actually a lineup type decision. Here it is. Starting Dylan Cease on short rest in game 4 of last year's NLDS. Worst, most damaging move Padres have made this decade, according to this article.
Can't disagree with it.
Here's what's said. There is little doubt that a lot of these long-term contracts the Padres have committed to aren't going to end well. Bogarts, Machado, Fernando, Darvish, Musgrove, Cronenworth. What he's saying there is eventually these guys are going to be making money and not playing. And that's probably true, right? I mean, Bogart still has, 9 years left on his deal?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's saying that those may not work out. But he said, we'll let that sort out later. For now, the decision to start Cease against the Dodgers was an easy call for me. The Padres put a player in a position he's not used to. You can guess how many times Cease had started on 3 days rest in his career. Yep, 0. The postseason starting on short rest is not that good. Plus, the Padres were winning the series. There was no reason for them to take an unconventional risk. Yes, it's true that Mike Schilt still had Darvish on regular rest for Game 5, but had he won Game 4, he wouldn't have needed Game 5. He could have lost Game 4 and used Cease on regular rest. We all know what happened. Cease gave up 3 runs early. Padres lost 8-0. Darvish didn't win in Game 5. He does note correctly that maybe it didn't matter anyway as the Padres got shut out in both games.
I would think.
So that's a fair thing. You have to put that in there because the Padres could have started Cy Young and Christy Mathewson, but they would have been shut out in both games. It wouldn't have mattered.
That's what I think is the biggest thing is the 24 scoreless innings at the end of last year.
But that wasn't a decision. That was just a happening. That's the most disappointing thing that's happened. But this was the most.
I don't know that that's the. I mean, it's definitely something we talked about.
Sure.
But I don't know that's the worst thing the Padres have done.
Well, if you think of something worse, let me know.
Maybe hiring Jace Tingler?
Was that this?
It was in the 2020s.
Okay.
Remember the COVID season?
That was 2020. Was Tingler here?
I think he was 2021, 2019? Yes, because I was on postgame for those.
All right. Number 16 is Milwaukee Brewers trading Josh Hader away. That was one the Padres benefited from.
Yeah.
They got Josh Hader.
Yeah.
And really all they sent was Taylor Rogers, who did not pitch well in Milwaukee and never stayed there.
Yep.
So there's one that worked out for the Padres.
I like this list.
As a matter of fact, in 2022, because of that trade, or partly, the Padres made the playoffs and the Brewers did not.
I do know that.
So there are some that go your way, and that would be one of those. There was one more. This was interesting. Tampa Bay, number 20 on the list. Their mistake was pulling Blake Snell in the sixth inning of the World Series that year against the Dodgers.
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That was pretty terrible.
Everybody knew that was bad.
Yeah.
21 was the KC Royals waving Brent Rooker.
Okay.
We could have got blamed for that one ourselves.
Yeah, seriously.
Because we traded Brent Rooker. Do you know who we got in return for him?
For Brent Rooker?
Yeah, from the Royals.
Oh, either Tim Hill?
No. Brent Rooker, by the way, is now an all-star for the A's, and he's like making a gazillion. Like, he's a big-time dude.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Finished in the top 10 of the MVP balloting.
Yeah.
We got third-string catcher Cam Gallagher for him. Yeah.
But
not a great trade, I don't say.
It's not a great trade. That is for sure.
That was not. You can't. There's no way to. There's no way to address that.
But
one
so
up.
Many other teams passed on Brent Rooker.
Yeah. No. Well, that's what I'm saying. The Royals are the team that takes the hit here in the article, not the Padres.
Unfair. I think that's unfair. Someone has a good suggestion for maybe the Padres one.
Okay.
Bob Melvin not going to Josh Hader in Philly in the NLCS.
That's a.
And Robert Suarez gave up the home run
to
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper. Lefty on lefty would have been Josh Hader.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But then we don't know if it was double days. We don't know where we were
with
Josh Hader rules. Would he come in the game?
Yeah, I think it was the eighth inning. So, yeah, Josh Hader might not have come in.
He doesn't pitch the eighth inning.
He doesn't like the eighth inning.
He only pitches the ninth inning, Chris.
One more on this. The 30th ranked bad move was the Orioles trading Tanner Scott to the Marlins. I mentioned that because, Scott got here last year. And I will say this. Of all the players that the Padres lost this offseason, Kim, Profar, Solano.
Peralta.
Musgrove, kinda,
Did you say Profar?
Yes, I said Profar. I think the biggest loss to me is Tanner Scott. Because, number one, they lost him. Number two, he's a Dodger. Profar is a big loss if Profar has the same season he did a year ago.
Yeah.
But Tanner Scott, to me, is going to be lights out for the Dodgers.
And he was the Ohtani whisperer.
Oh, yeah. Right. All right. Good show today.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thanks for being with us today. Like we said earlier, it was a tough day here at the station. Our best to Craig and Annie. We thank them. And we're going to miss them, but the middays will carry on with local programming. You'll get the word on that soon. You'll get Scraby coming up next with the Scraby Chronicles. For Tony, it's Chris. Good night from Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.